Oyez, oyez, oyez. All persons having business before the Honorable, the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit are admonished to draw near and to give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and its Honorable Court. Be seated, please. Case number 07-5389, North Carolina Fisheries Association, Inc., et al., Appellant versus Carlos Gutierrez, Honorable in his official capacity as Secretary of Commerce. Mr. Guillen for the appellants, Mr. Sankar for the appellee.
Good morning. If it pleases the court, my name is Sean Guillen, attorney for appellants, North Carolina Fisheries Association, Avon Seafood, Joseph Andrew High, and Jeff Oden. Your Honors, before addressing the important question of jurisdiction, a brief review of the events precipitating litigation below are in order. That challenge involved Amendment 13C to the Snapper Grouper Fishery Management Plan. Amendment 13C was promulgated with the sole focus on developing measures to end overfishing.
Counsel, may I suggest that we've read the brief, so therefore we do know the background.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Why don't you just go right to the jurisdictional question?
Okay, I would like to make four initial points. With respect to the
about jurisdiction
rule and AACP, yes, that a remand order is generally not final for the purposes of the final judgment rule. Your Honors, the order in this case was a final order. It marked the end of litigation because fulfillments of its terms could engender no further litigation.
Didn't the district court remand it to the agency?
The remedial order, in fact, the specific language of the order was that the was to enter the government's proposed remedy. And the context of the remedy was very specific. They said, we have these four elements that our technical guidance says comprise a rebuilding program. We've already done them. All we're going to do is hold some meetings, meet some agency deadlines, and do notice, publish notice and final. And that's exactly what they did. This is a case that puts appellants in the situation of the government in NAACP, because importantly,
counsel, wasn't this case under APA or reasonable facsimile of APA?
The case was brought under the judicial review provisions of the Magnuson-Stevens Act, APA, Regulatory Flexibility Act.
Now, you're familiar with the Chenery case, aren't you?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, isn't it de rigueur when a district or an appellate court is reviewing agency action and identifies a legal error, that it is the appropriate action is to remand to the agency for proceedings not inconsistent with the opinion?
Yes, Your Honor.
So we do not normally, unless there's some extraordinary circumstances, get into devising the remedy, i.e., the type of regulation that would satisfy the identified error, do we? Raising a question is wasn't the appropriate step, which is not a lot different from what the district judge did, simply to remand to the agency for proceedings not inconsistent with that opinion? Then at that point, the agency issued a regulation purporting to respond to the opinion. And your option was to challenge that regulation. Now, you say that would have been unfair because you'd have had to bring a second suit, but that happens all the time. That's what happens under APA.
Your Honor, I agree. The typical remand order, had the court simply said, I've identified a legal failure to develop a rebuilding program, I remand to the agency to develop a rebuilding program consistent with the statutory authorities.
No, he would say consistent with my opinion. Yeah.
Consistent with the opinion. The failure to meet
Section
1854E.
So you said the problem is that your judgment is that the district judge went too far.
I am saying that he was overly specific in his order by entering what the government had proposed in terms of the elements and the timetable.
But the agency was certainly free to do any. What was the agency not free to do under his remand order? Sounds like you're making an argument that the government should have made. The remand order was too specific, but they're not concerned.
No, because they had proposed that remedy. And again, they're not constrained in any way. They certainly have their broad authority under the Magnuson Act to do what they would. But the important
challenge, that answer, appropriate challenge was to the rulemaking, which the statute provides, doesn't it? You passed that challenge.
The key point about the action that occurred on remand was that it was implemented without any regulation or regulatory effect.
Well, that's a different question. That's your argument that that's your isn't that your reason for why you couldn't have challenged 15A when it was issued?
It is. But
that has nothing to do with whether the order you're appealing here is appealable. And besides, why wouldn't what was the predecessor? It was 13C, right?
13C, that's correct.
Okay, 13C was issued together with a regulation, right?
It was.
Okay, so why isn't 15A just, you know, a continuation of that, and you would easily be able to challenge 15A because it was just an extension of 13C, which was issued together with a regulation?
Well, the question would be, how would this arise? For example,
well, it would arise
were we to get a final issue from the judge below, once Amendment 15A had been issued, presumably we could have filed a motion saying it was in contempt of the court's order.
No, you could have challenged that.
But how would that raise the question of the court's order, whether that complied with the law?
Well, that would be your argument.
I thought you said the proper order would be just to simply remand for proceedings not inconsistent with this opinion.
Indeed, and if they had done that and the government acted as they did only to implement the technical aspects of the plan, then we would have been able to move that before Judge Bates that what the government did was inconsistent with the order because it didn't meet the full statutory definition of a rebuilding plan.
You're not making sense. Under Chenery, the court, an appellate court and a district judge in an APA case is sitting as an appellate judge. All the issues before him or her are all legal. And if he finds an error, he remands to an agency to correct the error. He doesn't describe how the error should be corrected because the agency under Chenery could come back with the same view under a different theory. And then you would have to come back to the district court claiming that the new regulation or the new implementation of the regulation, which you had jurisdiction to challenge, was inappropriate.
But the Magnuson-Stevens Act conveys no jurisdiction to any district court to hear a challenge to Amendment 15A.
What are you talking about? Doesn't APA provide jurisdiction in the district court for any matter, any agency action not otherwise provided for?
No, that's trumped by the specific judicial review provisions under the Magnuson-Stevens Act, Section
155F. So you can go, and what can you take to the district court under the Magnuson-Stevens Act? Any action?
No, Your Honor. Regulations promulgated under the authority of the Act or actions undertaken pursuant to regulations implemented under the Act. This is neither of those. This is similar to the cases we cited in Note 8 of our appellant's reply brief. Cape Cod Commercial Hook Fishermen, Tutin v. Daly, and there's a series of cases. You can't just challenge a fishery management plan.
Are you saying this is agency action for which there is no specific review provided? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, Your Honor.
In which case, APA picks it up. APA specifically gives authority to review any agency action in the district court not specifically provided for otherwise. Isn't this agency action?
There's a long line of cases which say that in the event of these sort of general guidelines, these sort of technical points. I mean, remember what they did they said that we're going to rebuild Snowy Grouper over 20 years.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that you had authority to come to the district court because it was not agency action?
No, we had authority because we were challenging regulations implemented under the Act.
Well, doesn't the statute provide for that, for review of regulations implemented under the Act?
Right, but as the government's remedy order and their notice of agency action specifically said, this is being done without regulatory language or effect.
Then it doesn't matter. Under then an APA, you had either the statute provides you grounds for review into the district court, or APA does. You're as long as it's agency action. So you had an opportunity to challenge the implementation subsequent to the district court's proceeding in district court. Your brief argues, gee, that's not fair. We missed our deadline.
No, well, we the government hadn't raised this point. They simply argued our case was moot. But
well, it doesn't matter. This is a jurisdictional issue.
And I completely agree, but I'm just saying we didn't frame the issue in this context because it wasn't raised at that time, and so we're addressing that now. The further problem we'd have with
it seems to me you're circumventing this one statute or another by trying to get the Court of Appeals to rule on an issue that you didn't raise. Didn't raise properly under either APA or the Magnuson Act, one or the other.
Well, I believe that our brief on remedy addressed the precise question that was here, and Judge Bates ruled finally and decisively on that issue in his final order in this case. But let me just sort of entangle what it is you're suggesting that we do. Now, for one, Amendment 15A, we all agree, implements an important part of a rebuilding program, but it's only a part that comports with 1854E4A, those technical elements.
Now you're getting to the merits of your case, right?
Somewhat, but we agree that that was a part of it. So we wouldn't challenge anything substantively the government did on a case challenging Amendment 15A, assuming we had a court had jurisdiction
sorry,
to hear this
you,
challenge.
I'm sorry, I don't understand your argument here. Is this in support of your argument that we have jurisdiction, or are you now switching to the merits?
No, it is in support of yes.
Yes.
It
no.
is in support of the jurisdictional argument because, as I'm trying to explain, we had no case.
You're saying it would be odd to require you to do this, and you're explaining why it would be odd.
Well, I think if we walked into court, if we've filed a new complaint against Amendment 15A, we'd
right.
say we totally agree with it. It was done in compliance with a court order. But it didn't go far enough.
Right. And why?
I mean, our complaint is with the judge's order, not what the government did on.
Why couldn't you do that?
What?
That would be your argument.
Well, A, there's the jurisdictional question.
Well, set that aside. I mean, suppose you're wrong about that.
Okay.
Okay. Suppose there is jurisdiction to challenge the 15A plan amendment. Then you don't. That right. That's your only concern.
Right. But we wouldn't be challenging Amendment 15A.
Why?
Because we have no issue with it. We said in our brief,
you say it doesn't go far enough.
Yeah, you say
No. We say it's incomplete.
It's incomplete, and you made that argument.
Thank you for correcting me, Ken.
You made that argument in your argument before the district court prior to the remand order, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and that issue is perfectly preserved for you had you challenged 15A.
But what would be the purpose to be served when the issue has been finally decided? I mean, let's look at the prudential aspects of the final judgment rule. I realize it's jurisdictional, but there are a series of concerns that it has, and the idea is to avoid piecemeal litigation, interlocutory appeals.
Where has it been finally decided? What are you worried about being precluded? You mean from the remand order? You're worried the district court's remand order would preclude you from raising the issue in a challenge to 15A? Is that your concern?
Yes, because it was specifically framed. As the government said, we are going to implement something that's already been packaged.
And your position?
We're
going
to do it without regulations, and the judge said that's fine. So at that point, once... I'm sorry.
Okay, you're well over time. We'll hear from the government.
Thank you.
Yeah.
May it please the court, Sam Sankar for the United States government. With me at council table.
Could they have challenged 15A?
Yes. We believe they could have.
What do you do with the language in the Act that says only regulations?
Well, there's two possibilities for challenging 15A. Number one is under cases, there are cases suggesting that where you're challenging a subsequent action by NOAA Fisheries, but in substance your challenge is to a prior regulation issued by NOAA Fisheries, the challenge is construed as coming up under 1855. And I'll give you a case.
Are there cases that say that?
There's a case citation from the Ninth Circuit that I have for you. It's Turtle Island Restoration Network. The site is 438 F3rd 937. I should say that that case wasn't favorable to the plaintiffs in that case because it said that the time bar applied as a result of the fact that it was, in substance, a challenge to earlier regulations. In addition, as Judge Silberman suggested, it's possible that this challenge could have arisen directly under the APA.
And would they have been barred in any way had they filed after 15A from raising all of their concerns about the plan?
I don't believe so. Nothing would have barred them from raising the concerns, whether those concerns would have properly been before the court at that time, given time bars or ripeness issues. I'm not sure.
You wouldn't have argued that it was too late.
It's entirely possible that we would have argued it was too late.
That's the problem,
right? Well, do you disagree that there's no jurisdiction on this appeal?
No, we certainly agree there's no jurisdiction on this appeal.
So then are you...
Even though you didn't raise that in your briefs, of course.
Right. You're right, Your Honor. We briefed this as a mootness case because we think the most obvious reason why this case should be dismissed is because the very action that the plaintiffs were looking for here has been taken. Their challenge right now is in essence a challenge to the substance of that action, and it's a little strange to be litigating the substance of the action when we have an administrative record in this case that doesn't include the action itself.
Counsel, you heard my question to your opposite number there. Wasn't the proper position for the government down below to have been, Your Honor, it's not up to you to focus a remedy. This is a APA review. And you should remand under Chenery back to the agency to correct the legal error you've identified. And it seemed both sides caused a great deal of confusion by getting into a remedy question.
I agree. I think what happened in this case is that the government went out of its way to assure the district court that it could promulgate the missing elements of this regulatory action in time and in a way that would eventually be construed as lawful. And they were basically trying to say to the district court, look, we have a plan. We're not just,
you know. Yeah, but I understand. But what's troubling about it is, and this has come up repeatedly in cases over the last 20 years, district judges, even really fine district judges, when sitting as reviewing judges on an APA-like case or an APA case, forget they're not dealing with a normal trial of a case, and therefore fashioning the remedy is not the appropriate last step. It's remand to the agency.
I certainly would not.
And what troubles me is that the lawyers you're sending into court don't remember administrative law.
I accept the criticism. I do want to point out that the actual order that the district court issued in this case contained no specifics, no outline for what the plan ought to contain. All of the discussion about the technical guidance that the plaintiffs, I think, focus on, that was entirely dictum. It was entirely by way of explaining that the agency was going to be able to comply with the order, not by way of setting out further limitations or expectations.
I understand, but it would have been helpful to the district judge if the lawyer for the government had pointed out that this was an APA-like review case, and therefore the remedy stage is quite unusual and almost never done by a court of appeals unless an agency is obdurate and then has refused four times to comply with a remand.
I accept your point, Judge Silberman. I certainly agree.
So I just want to get some clarification about your position. So number one, your position is we lack appellate jurisdiction here because the order was not final, right?
And because it was also moot, or because the case is now moot.
Well, you agree that okay.
Either one of those. Right. So
you're basically
yes.
arguing they're in the wrong court.
So
is that correct? You're
that's
in
correct.
The wrong court.
But did I hear you suggest that had they filed a timely challenge to Amendment 15A, that some of their arguments would be barred?
No, I think. our position is they certainly would have been able to challenge 15A, and they certainly would have been able to challenge 15A for compliance with the substantive requirements of the Magnuson Act.
Right.
I'm simply suggesting that there are cases that have construed the time bar in 1855 broadly. Our position in this case would be that a challenge to 15A would have been timely if it had been brought at least within 30 days of the Secretary's approval of Amendment 15A.
Do you think there's a difference between a remand for explanation and a remand for substantive action to be taken for purposes of this doctrine?
I don't think for purposes of the doctrine that's true. There are cases saying that a ministerial remand, that is to say a remand where the court is saying agency literally just check this box, or I think the cases involving boundary lines, boundary disputes are often construed this way. Ministerial remands can be final, even though there is, at least in theory, a further agency action to take place. I don't think this case falls into that category. If there's no further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you. Did counsel have any time left? Okay. You can take 1 minute if you like it.
Thank you, Your Honors. We believe that the proper action in this court, understanding that had we failed to appeal Judge Bates's order, we may have been forever barred from raising the challenge, and now having done that, may find ourselves in the position of being unable to challenge a rule with which we agree.
Your position initially, right, was that the rule should be vacated.
Vacated.
Because you won. You won the underlying case, right?
Right. And the appropriate and that, order.
And you preferred that it be vacated rather than kept in place with a remand, correct?
Vacated with orders to Judge Bates to order the agency to develop a rebuilding program consistent with the law. That's what we believe the remedy should be. And we believe that if the court feels it does not have jurisdiction over this matter, to remand to the case so that we may file a motion with Judge Bates raising the question of consistency of the action on remand with the with his initial order.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Thank you.
Thank
case
you.
Case is submitted.